Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along. The boxing is back. The close season isn't very long in the boxing world, but it's still long enough for me to get itchy feet. We've got a cracking night of boxing on Box Nation this weekend. Steve Bunce will be on your screens looking at a few different fights. The undercard's good, but we're going to look at three of them, and we're going to look at Darren Barker's world title tilt. Good weekend to come back to it, Buncey.
It's one of those weekends, Lee, that if it was in the middle of a busy season, about mid-October, mid-November, you'd still call it fantastic. Because it's in isolation with the sunshine and the ice cream and the strawberries in August, it's quite incredible.
Very nice indeed. Yeah, let's start. We've got three fights we're going to look at that we've got priced up on the William Hill website. Gary Buckland, Stephen Smith, Enzo Macronelli against Ovil McKenzie, and Nathan Cleverley versus Sergei Kovalev before we get on to Darren Barker's fight, of course. So let's start with Gary Buckland, shall we? His record reads 27 wins, 9 by stoppage. He's lost twice and been stopped once himself. He's facing Stephen Smith for the British super featherweight title fight in Cardiff. Smith's record, 16 wins, 9 by stoppage as well. One defeat, and he's been stopped himself. The record, I mean, obviously he's fought more times, Gary Buckland, but the records aren't that dissimilar, are they?
And of course, the one defeat on Smithy's record was to Gary Buckland's pal and chief sparring partner, Lee Selby, which makes it a bit intriguing. So there's a little bit of gym intrigue going on here. Gary Buckland's done it the hard way. I mean, I know he hasn't got a lot of losses on his record, but he's been in a lot of 50 fights. He likes Mike Tyson, and sometimes he can fight that way. And that could be a problem against Smith, because Smith against Selby, Smith looked fairly comfortable, and I think he just got overconfident. Now, what's interesting, and that was a featherweight lead. He's moved up to super feather, and I think he's on a run of either 3 or 4 stoppages. A fantastic run. And what's more, he's looking and fighting like a banger. So it's going to be a little bit interesting. It's when I see him reverting back to type Stephen Smith, and boxing a little bit more. He's certainly the bigger boxer. Is he the better puncher? Well, super feather, it's possible. This is a bit of a junction fight for Stephen Smith. Buckland loses this, it's not a problem. People will say, well, Stephen Smith's a fantastic amateur. He's been a great pro. He's a good pro. Buckland will come back. For Smith, it's a tough one. And I think that's what I've just got this sneaky feeling Smith is going to win it on points.
Let's have a look at Enzo Macronelli versus Ovil McKenzie. I'm still staggered that I'm still previewing Enzo Macronelli fights. But he's a younger man here, though. It's not like he's ancient or anything. It's just that so many times in his career, it's looked like it's the end. He had that awful spell, didn't he, around 2008-09 when obviously the Hay fight, which was built up to be a huge fight, and Hay destroyed him. Then you had the Lebedev one, which I was at, and it was horrible to see that one. But he's come back. He's lost the odd fight here and there, hasn't he, including to McKenzie. Can't he get rid of that hunger, Buncey? Is that what it is? He's just got that in him still.
Well, you know, he's definitely got the hunger back. In fact, he's trainer Gary Lockett, who's a good fighter in his own right. Talking about that Enzo's hunger is refreshing. But, you know, he lost to some good fighters back then, remember? You know, let's not write, you know, I know he lost a few fights, but he lost to good men. He wasn't getting beaten and clipped by unknown fighters that haven't been anywhere. And the Ovil McKenzie defeat earlier this year was farcical. I don't criticise referees as such, but on the night, the referee got it wrong. He's a terrific referee. He just got it wrong. He panicked.
Was it one of those where he was a bit worried? I mean, to me, Buncey, it almost seemed like he was worried about Enzo.
He was. Listen, and you know what? And so two years ago, you know, I upset Enzo by saying, I don't think you should fight anymore. Which doesn't mean I'm not going to back him or support him when he fights. And I've got to be honest with you, that night, he was doing a great job against Ovil McKenzie. Ovil was struggling. Eventually managed to catch Enzo a couple of times in a corner. Enzo was just still smiling it off, and the referee jumped in. Now, there was a lot going through Enzo's mind that night, a lot going through his head. You know, he was getting over the death of his father. You know, he wanted revenge for, you know, someone had to pay for that. His son had been diagnosed with autism, and someone had to pay for that. And it was a brilliantly controlled performance from Enzo that night. I'm mixing the two names up. From Enzo that night. And I think he was going to go on for a fantastic win over McKenzie. In the end, the ref jumped in. So we come to their rematch. So this is what you have to ask yourself is, can Enzo be as focused? Because if he's as focused, then we're going to see an easy Enzo victory. We have to hope he's lost a bit of focus, not we, I mean, just the royal we. Fans have to hope he's lost a bit of focus, and that way we get a great fight. Because what we were going to see the other time, was a masterclass. I just fancy that Enzo is still focused, and I just fancy he'll know too much when it comes to for Ogle McKenzie. And I mean, if I had to bet on this one, I'd have a few quid on this one. I fancy Enzo on a stoppage here.
Right, 3-1, the price for that, Bunsen.
Yeah. Listen, I think the sensible money is probably on Ogle McKenzie repeating, but I've just got a feeling that Enzo this time might give us the same performance. I spoke to him the other week and he sounded terrific.
Yeah, 3-1 for that. Macronelli by decision is 11-2. Ogle McKenzie by stoppage is 4-7. That's the favourite by quite a long way. And McKenzie by decision is 7-1. You've got all your individual round betting and you've got the grouped round betting on this one as well. So if you want to pick three rounds where you think it'll end, then there's those prices. In fact, if you went that far with Enzo Buncey, there's some decent prices around. Rounds 1-3 is 10-1. Rounds 4-6, 12-1. Rounds 7-9. 14-1.
4-6, 12-1.
Yeah.
Get on it.
You like that one?
Oh, I like that one a lot.
Enzo Macronelli, rounds 4-6 is 12-1. If you think rounds 10-12, by the way, just to finish it off, is 20-1. Nathan Cleverley fights Sergei Kovalev for the light heavyweight WBO title that he holds. So 26 wins for Cleverley, 12 by stoppage. Kovalev, the Russian, 21 wins, 19 by stoppage. He's drawn one as well, by the way. Looks a decent record on paper, the 30-year-old, but when you start looking down, he's never been 12 rounds, Buncey. He never had to. He's stopped so many of his opponents. But
it's 8, isn't it? I think his limit at the moment.
Yeah.
Not quite Deontay Wilder. He's never been beyond about 82 seconds in his 548 first-round knockouts. But it's quite interesting.
Yeah, but no, Nathan Cleverley's been in proper fights, hasn't he? Not taking anything away from Kovalev, but he hasn't been at this level in some... This is in Cardiff, for God's sake. This is a big fight for Kovalev.
No, it's a massive fight for Kovalev. But what you have to understand is the bookies still had him as the favourite. Now, I don't know if that's changed this last 2 weeks.
It's a pick'em. 10 to 11 each of two, Buncey.
Yeah, but it was quite heavily in favour of Kovalev. And I think what happened here, and that's quite simple, is the bookies, Lino disrespects the people to pay our wages occasionally, is that they went on the American stuff that was coming out, the so-called hype from America. There were plenty of big, influential American writers that started talking about this guy being the second coming. The second coming of a combination of Sonny Liston and someone even more sinister and devastating and dangerous. So they got a bit carried away. The American TV company loved this guy. They've had him for two back-to-back bang-outs. One of them was a good bang-out against Jorge Campillo, the former world champion. Campillo, the former world champion, who was a good fighter only a year ago, was having a hard fight with Tavoris Cloud. And bingo, Bosch Kovalev done an absolute job on him. That brought him to the nose. Then he had another quick win. And then if you remember rightly, and there's an interesting timeline with this. I've been toying with some people on Twitter with this for the last couple of days. Is that when the fight was first suggested, Kovalev said, no, thanks, but no thanks. I've got some interest from Bernard Hopkins. Natural, big money. Mm. Went and talked to Bernard Hopkins, the fight was off. Suddenly, Cleverley became a coward. How did that work? Kovalev didn't want the fight because he wanted to make more money somewhere else, which he's entitled to do, but Cleverley became a coward because, wait for it, the online community and other people in the boxing business were talking about, oh, that's lucky, Cleverley's had a right break there, he's going to get knocked out in a round. Okay, then the fight gets called back on and silent. Until about a week ago, when suddenly the propaganda machine starts working and Kovalev becomes a bomb. He's a glass-chinned bomb who can't stop getting knocked out. You cannot invent this. This is Hans Anderson. This is the realm of fairy tales. One minute he's the most dangerous fighter in the world and Nathan Cleverley has been spared a first-round knockout. 6 weeks later, when the fight's on, he's the worst fighter in the world. He's got no chin, he's got no heart, he doesn't speak English, he's got BO, he's got bad breath. And wait for it, Nathan will knock him out in a round. It is fantasy. What is going on with people? This is a hard fight. And John David Jackson is a brilliant, brilliant fighter and turning into a great trainer, a future great trainer. He's right. If Cleverley stands and trades, it's going to be good night. Cleverley knows it's going to be good night. One of Cleverley's flaws is he forgets tactics. A little bit like Nicky Piper in that sense. both intelligent, both world-class light heavyweights, and both fought like they were idiots. And I mean that in a nice way. They both gave the crowd what they wanted. Cleverly needs to box, needs to use his brain. If Kovalev starts to tire later on, if the zap starts to go out of his punches later on, you know, in rounds where he's never been before, you know, 9, 10 and 11 and 12, then Cleverly can come down off his toes. If he does that, he's going to win comfortably. If he gets suckered in and fights a stupid fight, he's going to get hit on the chin and he's probably going to go over. Bear in mind, you know, Joe Calzaghe didn't go toe-to-toe with Jeff Lacy until Jeff Lacy had nothing left after about 7 rounds, and then he bashed him up unbelievably. Same fight. This is Lacy-Calzaghe 2. People keep trying to tell me it's not. I'm telling you it is, because if Joe had got involved that night, Joe could have been hit on the chin. He didn't get involved. He used his brain and Cleverly has to do the same. If he does the same, I think he'll get the Kovalev stopping in the last 3 or 4 rounds. I really do.
Right, yeah. The stoppage, the Nathan Cleverly stoppage is 6-1.
I like that, son.
Yeah,
I like that. That's the best bet I think we've had in 5 years. I'm convinced of it.
Kovalev by stoppage is 5-4. Cleverly by decisions 11-8. Kovalev by decision 6-1. So the bookies are quite clearly saying here, Buncey, that they think if Cleverly wins, it'll be by decision. If Kovalev wins, it'll be by stoppage. The odds are virtually the same between the two.
They've made a mistake. Kovalev's never been under pressure late in a fight. He's never boxed a guy. Tell you what, that 6-1 for a Cleverly stoppage is unbelievable.
Yeah. You think he can maintain that discipline throughout the fight then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. Because he is intelligent.
Yeah.
It can go two ways. He is intelligent.
Yeah.
He has to maintain it.
Fascinating fight. It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? It's a great, great bill, to be fair.
I don't think I've ever been so upset and annoyed and infuriated with some fighters, some promoters and some people out there on the internet in fantasy land who are saying that this is rubbish, who are saying it's a hype job, who are saying it's a walkover. I think that the degree of sour grapes and blind prejudice there is almost needs medical assistance. No, I do. I'm seriously. I've had a nice little break, Lee, and I came back to read stuff, and it was like it was being scripted by an EastEnders scriptwriter. I mean, it is pure fantasy. This is a savagely hard, brutal, and difficult fight to take.
Speaking of big fights, Darren Barker's got his big fight. This will define his career.
Absolutely.
This is over in Atlantic City in New Jersey. The IBF middleweight title up for grabs. Darren Barker facing Daniel Gill, the Aussie, 32 years old. He's been fighting in world title fights since 2007, Buncey, and winning them, by the way. The IBO middleweight title it was back then. Darren Barker, just that one defeat on his record when he was stopped in the 11th round against Sergio Martinez. Of course, a lot of you will have seen that. And he put up a decent performance up until that point.
Great performance.
He's had a strange old career, hasn't he, Darren Barker? You know, he's one of those boxers who it's very difficult to dislike, in my opinion. He comes across as a very nice guy on Twitter, very level-headed. And, you don't want to be betting on this premise, but I really want him to win this, Buncey. I really want it. It's almost like he needs this, doesn't he, Darren Barker, after all the things that have happened to him in and out of the ring.
Well, you know, he needs it, and also it'd be good for British boxing.
Yeah.
If finally one of our middleweights gets the win. He's had the one. Macklin's had 3 or 2. Macklin's had 3. Martin Murray's had 2. So between the three top middleweights, they've had 6 attempts at the world middleweight title. We're getting back to the way it was in the 60s and the 70s when our guys went out and fought for titles and never won. So he needs it. However, some people seem to assume that Daniel Gill is the weak link. And let me tell you something, he's not the weak link. He's not, you know, he's not Sergio Martinez, although I've got to be honest with you, you saw what Martin Murray did last time with Sergio Martinez, dropping him twice.
Yeah.
One legitimately and one ruled a slip, even though it was a legitimate knockdown. Would have changed the scoreline that night, given it a draw. Martin Murray showed that Martinez is only human. Don't be fooled by Daniel Gill. Don't be fooled because he's not a flashy American with golden boy, you know, pushing him. He's not like that. This is a hard, hard fight for Darren Barker. A real hard fight. I didn't think he'd beat Martinez. And I'll tell you what, I'll be shocked if he beats Gill. I think it'll be a brilliant win. I really do.
And
I think it's a hard win. I think I'd be amazed if it's easy either way. I mean, if one of them stops the other, I'd be stunned. I mean, I'm talking about a non-cut stoppage. If one of them dominates and wins 9-3 or 10-2 or 8-4, I'd be stunned. I just fancy Daniel Gill to keep his title and for Darren to just fall heartbreakingly short. But you know what? He'll bounce to another title fight.
Mm. You think he'll go the distance then?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think it's a distance fight. Gill wins on points. Tight.
Yeah. Gill by decision is 11-8. Barker by decisions 2-1. Stoppages. Gill by stoppages 100-30. And Darren Barker by stoppages 11-2. The match price is have Barker at 8-5. So if you fancy Barker, probably just as well have a look at the 8-5. Daniel Gill is the 8-15 favourite in that one.
Listen, the problem with Barker... is twofold. He's not been as active as he should have been because of his body. I mean, twice he's had, the hip problem, the injury problems that looked like ending his career. I remember interviewing him on BBC London maybe 2 years ago where he was in tears because it was all over. I also remember interviewing him about 5 years ago on Satanta and again on BBC London when he wasn't getting any coverage and when he was falling behind Macklin, who seemed to be getting loads and loads of coverage over on Sky at the time. So, I've done an awful lot of things trying to keep Darren Barker in the limelight, and it doesn't please me to tip against him here. I just fancy Gill to do it. They're both Commonwealth Games gold medalists from about 500 years ago. That Manchester.
Yeah, it just seemed a long time ago, didn't it? That. Yeah.
I just fancy Gill.
Yeah. The last three bets that you've put up there, then Gill by decision, Macronelli by stoppage, and Cleverly by stoppage. I mean, it's a bit of a flyer with those two in there, but just 65.5-1, Buncey, that treble.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm feeling lucky, big boy.
Have a go at it then. That's the best. That's a big old. It'll give you some entertainment, by the way. And if one of them cops, then you'll be really looking forward to the other two fights to come in. Buncey, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Box Nation, and we'll speak again very soon.
Lee, thanks very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.